Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition of Star Wars Ranked. Me and a guest sitting down ranking things about Star Wars. It's a pretty simple concept. I think you get it. And I do want to remind you before we dive into today's episode that the podcast is sponsored by Audible. You can go to audibletrial.com/Four Center and get an audiobook on us. We always recommend something on the main show. This week, as I did last week, or in the last episode of Star Wars Ranked, I wrote a book called Why We Love Star Wars, and I recorded the audio version. It's on there. Try it out on Force Center if you like at Audible Trial. audibletrial.com/Force Center. Doing that copy from memory because I've said it so many times. All right. Last time on Star Wars Ranked, we had Billy Patterson from Screen Junkies and Hot Takes with Billy Biz and a lot of other wonderful things come in and just spill his joy out onto the microphone, he said kind of disgustingly. It was a great episode. A lot of fun talking about the special editions, the best things in the special editions, beyond just what was in the movie, what it meant, what it brought to the fandom, all those things. It was a great episode, so I figured we're not done. We're not done with Billy. We're going to bring Billy back right now for another Star Wars Ranked. Hello, Billy.
I am very excited. I love Force Center, and I'm always ready to talk Star Wars. Yeah. Morning, noon, night, whenever.
This is so great because I know, and you know, we won't name names, but over at Screen Junkies, you don't get to talk Star Wars
never
as much. A lot of folks over there, a little cynical on some of the Star Wars. You know, I've had my problems with it. Joe Starr, a-hole. Biggest a-hole. No, he just
Best hair in the biz.
Best hair and mustache in the biz. Love Joe. No, we've talked a lot. But yeah, I loved hearing you on the last episode. Just kind of unfurl your passion for Star Wars. And
can you feel the pent-up Star Wars passion ready to come out?
Can you feel Star Wars tonight? We talked about the special editions, which are important to you as a fan. That's where your journey began.
That is the beginning, the key into opening the door of Star Wars for me was the 1997 special editions.
And that's pretty powerful. It was a great episode. I love the stuff you said in it. But we were talking, and we were like, well, what if it didn't stop there? What if George kept going? What if there was a special edition of Star Wars, and what would we want to see? And that is what today's episode is about. The special edition editions we still want in Star Wars. Who knows? It may happen. Maybe it's not even George. George would be upset. I think George would have to come out of retirement to be like, if you're going to do it, I got to do it. But there was a lot more to add. Some of it from deleted scenes, some of them from things we just want and are making up, some things that might have been in. This conversation can go in a lot of different places. But the point is we're going to have it because the special editions, they're very special. So, Billy, you understand the show this time. We got the context, which we needed here last time. I think we're ready to go. Are you ready to go?
I am more than ready. Born ready.
Born to, baby, we were born to Star Wars. All right. Five reasons each. We work 5-1, and we're going to start with Billy's number 5, the special editions we still want to see.
A special edition for the special edition. So this comes from a certain point of view, which which was the book that some people liked some of it, some people didn't like. You can kind of pick and choose what you like.
There
was one story, and I don't know how people feel about this story, but one story that really got to me, and I'm not sure why, had me kind of choking
up. That's right. We talked about this before.
It had me choking
I'm on the
up.
Fence on this moment, but this is why I want to hear you talk.
Yeah, it had me choking up like a literal blubbery baby. I'm not sure why. Was the story of R5-D4, the droid that Luke almost took home.
Yeah.
But it had a bad motivator.
Yeah.
But it had a great motivation for that bad motivator. And that's why I love this story. The story is all about, you know, R2's going around in the Sandcrawler and he's sabotaging other droids. And R5's like, what are you doing, man? I'm on my last leg here. I need to be bought. I need a purpose.
Yeah.
And R2's like, I've got a mission. I'm not trying to be malicious. I just need to get out of here. Mm-hmm. And it's basically R5's sacrifice of himself, knowing that R2 needs to go ahead. And the addition that I would make to this, how I would put it in the movie.
I want
to
see how you
want
put
this
it in
movie. Or I want this in the movie. I think, you know, we know like Uncle Owen, this one's got a bad motivator. What about that one? R2 starts to go away.
Hey, what are you trying to pull? Right.
We cut back and there's R5 smoking. Yeah. And then you're like, and then a little subtitle that just says, may the force be with you. And you laugh, but let me tell you why.
I'm not laughing at you or your emotions.
No, you, I
love this.
I think from reading, I think what we've learned from Star Wars, especially like after I read Black Spire and some of the other stuff is that, and we get this a little bit in The Last Jedi, that the Force is not just a tool that someone can use when you're too lazy to grab the remote and you just want it to come to you.
Right.
The Force flows through everything. And Yelena says it great where she's like, you know, not all of us are Force users, but the Force can work through us.
Right.
And I love this idea of the Force. It's like a fate. It's like the universe saying this is the way of things, the way it has to be. And the force flowing through R4 to be like, I know the force kind of like saying like, I know your position. I know what you want. I know this is the path that you think you should be on, but you have to do this to bring balance because ultimately as small and as insignificant as you think you may be, broken down, beaten, you're on your last leg, you have no purpose, you do have a purpose.
Yeah.
Your purpose is to advance. Like you are such an important part of this and you don't even know it. And by sacrificing your chance at happiness to get clean, to get new parts, to be whole, your sacrifice saves the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for R4 to have that moment to acknowledge like, I didn't just break because I suck. I'm giving you this. Like, I think that shows that the Force is more than Luke just being able to, you know, stop a laser bolt with his lightsaber. It's the universe setting things right, to always trying to balance itself. And that it's this big thing that's not just for Jedi or not just for Sith. It's every living and every sentient being in this universe.
I gotta tell you, I'm following in line with what you're thinking here. I don't know now what I think about the moment, and I do love a lot of the moments in, from a certain point of view, Eclipse by my pal Matty Ruse, I think one of my favorite little Star Wars stories. So there's a lot there. There's some weird stuff in there too. A lot of stuff in the canteen. It's weird. The Dianoga stuff's weird. But even the Dianoga one's a very beautiful story. I just don't know what I think about it as a fan, which, by the way, it's fine.
Right.
We always say, take a moment. Take a breath. Take a knee, kid. Figure it out. So the R5 moment, when I did read that story, it is a very well-written story. I just remember thinking, I don't buy it. I don't know. But I got to say, the last time I watched New Hope, which was at that event in August for the Central Coast Film Society, the moment was coming up. And I don't know why. I just was like, hey, I'm going to put that in my head.
Yeah.
I'm going to wedge that into my head canon, whether I want to or not. And I started to come around on it from a concept of just like, okay, because one of the things that's changed, though we loved 3PO and R2 and a good gunk droid, and then we thought the mouse droids were cute and all that stuff, and the droid, I forget the P3OPO, whatever, it was the one who says it shoot, like, that's their Star Wars fans. We, just like Obi-Wan, kind of viewed them as just robots.
Yeah.
By prequels, we're a little more connected. R4 dies, Obi-Wan's droid, and he's kind of almost like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, I remember that. Or in Phantom Menace, where all the other astromechs get blown out of the sky. I was like, oh no. We started to become attached to him. But now in the sequel trilogy, droid rights or AI gets treated right, and the subtext of Wu-Hair kicking droids out of Chalmers Cantina, also because, you know, he was harassed and family had died at the hands of the separatists. So we view droids differently, is the point of my little monologue here. And so now it makes more sense that R2 would have conversations with these droids.
Yeah.
Now it's not far-fetched to me that he'd be going around, I need help. I love, too, that R2 is kind of an a-hole that's like messing with droids. Right. And R5's like, hey, man.
Come on, man.
I need this job.
Yeah.
unemployment's running out. So now I can get behind it, and it is not some wild, weird thing. It now makes sense.
I just think, you know, especially on this show, one thing I love, you guys talk about the emotional canon.
Yeah.
And one of the big things for me, like, that I really love about Last Jedi is this idea that, like, you don't have to be a Skywalker. Like, yeah, everybody has a part, their part to play. And I feel like emotionally this ties in that, you know, like, even the small, you know, to quote, right, Lord of the Rings, sorry, it's like, even the smallest of creatures,
absolutely,
can change the course of history. And that's what R5 does here. And I don't know, it'd just be kind of neat to call it out for just a minute, you know?
I love it. I think that's a great moment. So put it in there. You could even put in the moment of them having a conversation.
Oh, I would love it. And it also would, like, you know, when R2 finally joins 3PO and he's beeping and booping, you're thinking he's talking to 3PO, but I love in that story, he's like, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what you've just done to save the galaxy. That's cool.
I've got the plans for the Death Star. What? So that's a great number five, a great start to our list. R5 D4 gets his moment. I'm going to my number five is something that it's one of those deleted scenes. It's laying about, and I remember hoping that we'd see some of this there. And on last week's episode, I began with Biggs. This includes that, but I would love to see the special edition of Luke and his pals in the New Hope novel, and the scenes we've seen, Cammy, Wormy, all the fans, and of course Biggs showing up there. I understand, especially if you read the novel, it works great in the novel, but I understand the pacing issue. George, you got to get into it. And even seeing Luke, you know, with the floppy hat and all those kind of things that we don't really see. even that would, it destroys a little bit of the pacing and the reveal. So I totally get that. But if we're doing it now, where now I know, I'm not worried about you mentioned Lord of the Rings. Absolutely. We need to talk about it. Cause I am a watch the special edition, extended edition. Peter Jackson gets his way versions.
Oh yeah.
All in one day, 12, 13 hour commitment. We do that about once a year, year and a half. Cause I love them so much. And now that I'm not worried about, I'm in a theater, I'm home, I can go to the bathroom or get a donut when I want. Now I want a Star Wars version where now I want to see Luke with his friends. Yeah. I want him to have gone to Tashi Station to pick up some power converters the day before. You know, I want to see all that.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was around maybe 98, 99, there was Star Wars Behind the Magic.
Yes.
And that was the first time you were going to see this deleted scene. And I don't know if it was my computer or just the way it was, but it felt like it played at 3 frames per second. But
it's still downloading.
It just seeing that footage. Yeah, little Billy Biz at 11 years old was just like, how dare they cut this from the movie? This is great character work. This gives a whole arc to Biggs, having seen it now on the Blu-ray, you're darn right, man. I want my Peter Jackson cut. I want it in there.
Yeah, I want it in there.
Every morsel of that relationship.
Yeah. It is. It's right. It is on one of the versions, right? Is it out there now?
It was. It was in the Saga, which was the 2011. When they first brought it to Blu-ray, that was definitely.
So funny. I need to update my collection. I really do. We ran into this when we did the Phantom Menace watch along on YouTube for our Force Center Patreon goal. Joseph is like, oh, do you have Phantom Menace? I go, yeah. And I realized I had the version that had the puppet Yoda.
Oh.
Like, I had an update. I don't even have the Blu-rays.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I just, you know why? Because I'm just like, oh, I'm going to watch Star Wars. Pull the DVD off the shelf that I've had for 20 years. I don't even think about it. So that's right. I need to pick that up.
Tim,
so
we got
to
get you in the high def era.
I know. It's so silly of me. But yes, so putting it back in there, having the whole sequence. Let's have George's original vision in there. That's why it's my number 5, which means we're up to your number 4.
Okay. If you thought the emotional journey of R5 was a little corny, oh, I'm digging even deeper, man. I don't know why. It must be my time of the month. I'm feeling very sappy on these episodes. Mm. I'm getting very emotional.
I love it.
But there's one thing, again, you corrected me because I thought it was point of view, but it was actually one of the aftermath interludes that hit me like a ton of bricks.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the fate of Jar Jar Binks.
Yes.
And
Clown.
Yeah, and I think that's just one of the most beautiful, sad stories in all of Star Wars that I wish lived somewhere. But one thing that I love, and we talked about this on the last episode, is the montage of planets celebrating the destruction of the Death Star and seemingly the Empire. We know it didn't die that day, but
yeah.
The moment. And I would love, I think this addition, I want to tie it back in because whether you love it, hate it, whatever, you have to acknowledge that a lot of it happened because of Jar Jar Binks. Yeah. And the weight that he felt because of this is so heavy. Like what that does to the happiest, most naive person in the world that now becomes public enemy number one. He's been shunned. He's been... You know, no one takes him seriously. No one likes him. This is your fault. And it's like, I got into all of this to help. So I would love it if during that montage, you take out, there's someone screaming, "We suffer."
Random gun number 12. Yeah.
So I would take that out. I would keep that wide shot of Naboo.
Right, right.
But then I would cut to looking at this big parade, but you're in like an alleyway.
Okay. Okay.
And then you cut to Jar Jar because he can't be out in public.
No
one wants to see him, but he's watching this parade go by. He's watching statues crumble.
Yeah.
And a single tear kind of runs down his face. And just to himself, under his breath, he just says, "Wisa free."
That's the
Wisa free.
I love that.
He knows that.
I'm like, full on board.
I mean, like, he knows that the damage is done.
Yeah.
The wound will never fully heal.
Yeah.
But a little bit of weight can be taken off his shoulders. And I think like that could be such a powerful redeeming moment for this character that deserves it. He needs it.
Yeah.
I want that moment so bad.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
You can see
I'm smiling, but I think I am someone who's still on the character of Jar Jar, I am like, 60%, like it, I'm okay with it, it doesn't bother me. I love Ahmed Best. I think this guy got such a raw deal. Was a talented, boundary breaking performer who did what he was supposed to do and exceeded expectations, quite frankly. For those, and if you watch the behind the scenes videos when he's making, it's such, and then it happens, and the guy almost kills himself. Like it is powerful, and I love this guy, and I want him. And I think he at Celebration this year, I think he got a little bit of maybe closure or joy out of the situation. There was a great guy. He ran into some fans on the street, and I think one of them's must have been a Star Wars podcaster. I'm so sorry, I can't remember who it was. And they were wearing Jar Jar stuff on, and he stopped and was like, "I like your shirt." And they kind of realized, and they took a picture. And I just like, what a powerful moment for that man to see this 20 years later. 20 years later, and there's people on the street like, "Yeah, we love this guy. I love this character." So I want there somehow to be redemption for Jar Jar in the fandom and on screen. And the aftermath Chuck Wendig thing is absolutely one of the most beautiful things ever written in Star Wars. And I wrote about it in the book, but it's just like, double down on it. Like a Wendig knocked it out of the park there. So putting this, I kind of want this. And there's a little bit of cheese to it in a good way. It's corny in a good way, but I want people who hate this character to have to face it.
Yeah.
I want them to have to face the tears of Jar Jar.
I want to taste those salty Luke crying on his dad's tears, because I do think there is something to, like, Jar Jar does put the galaxy in this position, and we never really get to follow up on that. Yeah. Like, it's, he's just kind of hanging out at the funeral in episode 3, but
you know,
I want to feel like this guy, oh, this poor guy, he must have been tormented all these years. Yeah. I think that moment could really work.
I think it could.
It's corny.
It is.
But I love it.
It is. And for those listening who have not read the Aftermath series, it's a whole big story, a whole big part of the galaxy. Maybe seek out, if you don't want to read the book, seek out the Aftermath interlude. It's in Empire's End. It's the Jar Jar one. And his name's not even really said till later on in the thing. It's just the clown, Jar Jar the clown. It's so good. It's so good. Very meta too. All right. Great one. Great one, Billy. Wow. This is great. You're having a good time here. You're bringing the A game. All right. My number 4 is this. We're going to do a special edition of Empire Strikes Back. The special edition of Empire is pitch perfect, probably because the movie's perfect too. Yeah, I mean,
not a lot of change.
Even some stuff, you know, like the stuff at Vader, you know, when they add Vader on the shuttle and the Lambda class shuttle going back, unused Return of the Jedi footage or whatnot. That's fine. That's the thing I didn't need the least, right? Or needed the least. Everything else is great. And we talked about Cloud City last week and the Hoth sequence and the Wampa. But I want to go back to the Battle of Hoth, and I want an answer. And maybe not a good answer. He is one of my favorite characters. But I want the answer to the fate of General Maximilian Veers. In The Empire Strikes Back novel, Veers dies. This is probably why he doesn't show up in Return of the Jedi and why he kind of disappears and why we have the great Twitter feed, Veers Watch. I forget the cat's name that runs that, but he's a cool cat. Alex Damon on Star Wars Explained has interviewed him. I love it. I love Veers Watch. And I think, you know, Veers is probably alive right now. And I think he shows up in some comics, and someone out there can correct me on where he shows up now in new canon. I get it. But I'm saying, erase all that. I'm saying the sequence, the scene that is there, which is similar to Arvel Krynned in Return of the Jedi with Admiral Piet in the Star Destroyer, Super Star Destroyer being destroyed. I totally get that. Hobby Clivian is in his snowspeeder. He's damaged. He knows his days, his seconds are numbered, actually. And he knows the walker at the front is, let me take out the leader. And he uses his snowspeeder to crash head-on into Veers' walker, killing General Veers. I don't know about you, but I'm okay. I'll take Veers. I know if he's alive or he's out there, and we still get to watch for him. Throw that all away. If I can have this powerful moment in the Battle of Endor, I want Veers to die.
So this is so funny, because talk about the Mandela effect. When I saw your list, I was like, I thought that happens. and I realized, I was like, oh no, I must have just, like, because I've been watching a lot of, like, the prequels and Solo a lot. It's just been a minute since I've watched Empire. I was like, I thought that happened. I was like, oh no, I must have just, like, internalized the novel. of that happening and just like, oh, I just thought I saw it.
It's I still think there's X-Wings and Y-Wings that hit the shield of the second Death Star in Return of the Jedi. I grew up thinking that.
Yeah.
And it never happened.
Yeah. It's so funny. Yeah. I had to literally research like, Ken, I don't want to bust your bubble. I know you're the Star Wars guy, but no, I definitely want to see that too. I think... The Battle of Hoth, I think, is just like one of the best Star Wars sequences
ever. The legacy of that battle carries on.
And just to put it, just to put that maraschino cherry on the top of that delicious sundae.
Yeah.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it. You know, all due respect to General Veer's fans. I want to see that there. And Hobby fans, too. Hobby's a good character.
What a noble end.
Two fighters against a Star Destroyer. All right. So that is my number four, which means up to work to your number three.
Yeah, so we, you know, you mentioned the Death Star, Star 2. One of my new kind of favorite Star Wars things, and I didn't think I'd be into it. I remember when I was starting my journey is Star Wars Rebels.
Okay.
I was like, I don't know about this. The animation seems too good for. I'm too old for this. And it's taken a hold of me. It's become some of my favorite Star Wars. Yeah. It's become inseparable. And so, I guess spoiler alert if anyone hasn't watched or was waiting for Disney Plus to watch it, but it is said in the epilogue of the show that both Rex and Hera are both fighting in the Battle of Endor.
Right.
It's pretty vague. Doesn't say how. Now we kind of surmise that maybe that old dude hanging out is Rex. You could do some gymnastics if you want.
Yeah, some weird racial gymnastics too.
If you want to get into that, sure.
Yeah.
I would love to add, just like one of my favorite additions in the other one was adding the Outrider to A New Hope.
Oh yeah.
I want to add the Ghost to that final battle in the Death Star too.
Oh yeah.
And I think you can easily do this, you know, when Lando's like, all wings report in, you got gold leader, blue leader, just add another color. Green leader, maybe green's too on the nose, you know. Like
she does have a design. I can maybe look it up while you're talking.
But I definitely think that's something where it's like, it doesn't have to be gratuitous. I'm not saying she's flying next to the Falcon and Wedge and takes out the Death Star, but I think you can definitely put her in the melee. I think you can hire an actress to do maybe a couple check-in lines so that
Have Vanessa Marshall do the voice or even play it.
But I think it's definitely one of those things where it's like if you have never watched Rebels, you have no clue. It's just another pilot. It's another rebel freedom fighter. But if you do know who it is, my God, what an amazing Easter egg.
Yeah.
And you're like, all of this connects. They get their, you know, the rebel show kind of gets their big grand finale in this.
Right.
They matter to it all. It all connects. I love that so much.
Look, in Rogue One, obviously, it shows up. The Ghost shows up there, and of course, Chopper does too. And it's received in the way, you know, you're receiving this idea here. So I to go a little off point and work back to it.
Sure.
I was at a press screening for the Rebels finale. Like we got invited.
Oh, cool.
And got to set, it was me to the left. It was Perry Nemiroff, and to the left of her was Dave Filoni. It was a really interesting experience, and a lot of us were there. And that little moment, people were moved by the episode. As much Rebels fans there, but that little moment when they go, I forget my paraphrasing, but again, Hera and Rex went on to fight in the Battle of Endor. Like. Applause.
Yeah.
Like a applause break. And I think it would really work. I'm stalling a little bit. I'm trying to find, she does have, I know she's a general, but I think she is, they give her a squad. I thought I'll have to check on that.
I haven't read Alphabet Squad. I don't know if that all ties.
That is next on my, we delayed that a little bit here at Force Center. That's we're probably actually by the time this episode airs, we'll have aired that. So I haven't read it at the time of this recording. It doesn't matter what squad she is.
I as long as she's not green leader, cause that might be a little too on the nose.
But if you were to do it and whether it's show her, it's possible, but just like they do in Rogue One, just there, maybe it flies in, takes out a TIE fighter. Oh my God, it would work. And it's It's, you know, the you can't go back to 83 and George is not like, I'm going to one day mentor a guy named Dave Filoni. Dave right. Filoni's one. You can't do that. But with special editions, you can.
Yes, absolutely.
And I would love that idea.
And again,
I think
that's
it would be powerful.
It's one of those things where it's like, it doesn't have to be gratuitous, but it can also be incredibly rewarding for those who have been on the whole journey.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I love that. That's a great number three. The ghost gets into the battle. My number three is a little bit deleted scene, but we're going to go off that trail a little bit. There is no secret. One of my favorite characters is Moff Gerard. I love Moff Tion Gerard in charge of the second Death Star. Got a bum deal, man. Like, he's just trying to make it work with the budget problem, staffing issues, and his bosses want to kill him because he's behind schedule.
Sounds like my job.
Sounds like your job. Yeah, sounds like producing in digital media. Moff Gerard, I've talked a lot about in the Return of the Jedi novel, his great his introduction. He's got the great line of, you know, he's nervous. He's got Vader coming here, but great men never hurry. Great men cause others to hurry, so he doesn't hurry to go meet Vader. He's trying to play this game, and it's great. And I think it's in the novel. Yeah, it's in the novel. I can't remember that, but I think it is. But there's definitely the deleted scenes which are out there. Now I maybe they're on some DVD version.
I don't have on the Blu-ray
of him getting an order. The order was, if the battle goes wrong, you're to turn the Death Star on the moon of Endor, blow it up. Our troops are there, blow it up. And you know, Palpatine's communicating, fire at will, Commander. That's Gerard down there. Everything. So they do have that sequence. And I know I've seen some of them on YouTube, and it may be on these.
It is on the Blu-ray.
Blu-rays.
Yes. Right.
One of these days, I'm going to have to get the Blu-ray. So that's just.
Now I know what to get you for Christmas.
There you
this
go.
Year.
There you go. But I want that back in, going back to the extended director's cut. And I want to play it. And you couldn't film necessarily more scenes or anything, but like. I wanted to emphasize, like, and I want to maybe, and in my dream, this is where I really go off the trail of, like, I want him to not do it. I want him to really have this moment of no, it's not quite maybe Office Space where I'm gonna burn the place down, but just like, no, this isn't right. Not that I want Gerard to become a rebel in the end or anything like that, but just to realize. I think he's a worker bee, and we see a lot of the Empire and new canon are considered the worker bees, Bodhi Rook and Rogue One, and he just got a job delivering for the Empire. Like, whatever. I work for Amazon. I don't care what Jeff Bezos does. Like, I make my pay and try to take food home to my family. There is a part of that that's really interesting to me, that if it goes all the way up to Gerard, where Moff Gerard's like, I will not turn this battle station on my own men. I cannot do that. And he pays a price for it, dies, because that could have maybe won them the battle. It could have. And I just love this idea of Moff Gerard's very no good, very bad moral dilemma day. I want to put that in somehow, some way.
I think that would also just be such a great parallel of the whole story of, like, there comes a time where you have to draw the line in the sand.
Yeah.
Is Luke going to turn to the dark side? He has a choice to make. Yeah. What is the right thing to do? And even the bad guy is going to be like, what is the breaking point? I love, that's one of my favorite things about Archex in the Black Spire novel is like this, you know, like I'm not saying I'm resistance now, but I can't do that.
Yes.
And I love that thread. I think it would work so perfectly. Like I said, the deleted scenes are there. Mm-hmm. They're really well done. There probably wouldn't have to be a lot of work to put this one in.
No.
Slide it right in. But I think it emotional canon. It fits the theme of this movie. It should be in there.
It'd be a good, you know, the lesson. There's so many lessons about Orson Krennic, but one of them is just your aspirations truly choking you. That line with Vader is a bad dad joke, but it works. And to have Orson Krennic killed by the very thing he made his whole life an obsession with, you know, obsessed over, is pretty sadly poetic. And there's a lesson there, and it's office politics on a galactic scale. So to have Gerard aboard this second killing machine and go, I'm not going to be consumed by it and let this monster consume me with it by turning on my own men, because I am leading these guys.
Right.
You know, it's not necessarily what the original subtext that was put in there, and even with the deleted scenes, but I don't know, maybe it's because I love this character. I want to see him
No, I actually think 100% works. Everyone that has been involved with the Death Star, mm-hmm. even after its destruction.
It's the One Ring of Power.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I love that finally someone at the end, and it also strengthens the character of the Emperor, because it's like, this guy is so bad, he's willing to kill his own dudes. He doesn't care. And someone's like, wait a second. What are we doing
what
here?
What are we doing?
I love that. I love that.
All right. So that's my number three, which means we're up to your number two.
Yeah, I kind of took inspiration from this from the teaser trailer for Revenge of the Sith.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One of my favorite scenes in Star Wars, and I'm not sure why, because it's just talking heads, but I love the scene in Obi-Wan's hut in A New Hope, where he kind of lays out,
oh, yeah,
this is how it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Here's kind of what happened. But there's a moment, and I've never quite been able to figure out Sir Alec Guinness in his performance. I don't know if he was told this. I don't know if he just chose it. But Luke says, what happened to my father? And he pauses for a second and kind of looks out in the distance as if the wheels are turning. Mm-hmm. Like, how do I phrase this in a way that doesn't say what he shouldn't hear yet?
Yeah.
And then he says, Darth Vader betrayed and murdered your father. And I think that moment,
yeah,
oh my God, if you pause when he's just looking like, I need to think, and it cuts to just a real quick flash cuts of the lightsaber fight on Mustafar.
I hate you.
The hand reaching out. No, I hate you. And then it cuts back to a young pupil of mine, Darth Vader. Like, I just think that it's a way to tie in that prequels, that wound is probably still fresh for both of them. Clearly, when Darth Vader is saying later, like, I haven't seen you in a long time, you shouldn't have come back.
Yeah.
But I just, there's something like almost eerie about the way that Alec Guinness decided to play that moment. And it's like, you don't even have to digitally manipulate anything. No, no. It's ripe to put in something right there.
No, and there's some YouTube videos that do that kind of story. They do it well. And I normally don't watch a lot of those like YouTube fan supercuts and stuff like that, but it's got what you're talking about. I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
All right, look it up. Okay. But it goes through all of it. It's not what you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's a 6-minute video and here it is. This is why Sir Alec Guinness was one of the greats of the business. It is weird because there's these weird, like, how does some of the canon connect up to some things? If you go back, yeah, it's weird that the prequels come along and George is like, oh, not only Obi-Wan and R2 were like pals, like they went on missions, and then Clone Wars are even closer, and that's Anakin's droid. And here he is just 19 years later. I don't seem to recall. And you could look at it as a cynical fan. You could look at it and be like, well, George is stupid. Or you could look at it. Alec Guinness's face is telling that story. I think George builds back to that moment in a way. And I take it as R2 kind of look at him like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
Oh, this is how we're playing it? Okay. I do know everything and I keep it to myself because R2 knows and he keeps a secret really damn well. So to this moment, I think it's just a testament to Alec Guinness's performance. While you're talking, I'm thinking of Sean Bean in season 1, episode 1 of Game of Thrones. Jon Snow asking about his mother. The next time I see you, we'll talk about your mother. They had told Sean Bean, but he plays that. He plays that as a great actor. And I think when he turns to his left and looks ahead, it's almost as if he is seeing everything that can go wrong, but we can now go back and see everything that happens in Ned Stark's face. And that's great acting. And that's what Alec Guinness plays. And I think you could do it. You talked about that. Gosh, this is why the Kenobi series will work and why the Kenobi series should be Obi-Wan going to confront Vader one more time, because it all syncs up to that moment. You should not have come back. Does not mean Mustafar to me.
Right.
It can't mean Mustafar to me. Obi-Wan once thought as you did. He didn't. He kind of thought of that on Mustafar, but not in the context that they were talking about in Return of the Jedi. So this moment, put a little cut in.
I absolutely think so.
A little flashback.
I think The Last Jedi opened the door for us to accept flashback moments in Star Wars.
True.
So it doesn't, I feel like it wouldn't be like, what is this new device? Like if anything, it kind of sets it up for later. So I just want to see.
Maybe he just hears it. If you're out there listening going, I don't want to greatest hits highlights, maybe much like some of the voices we hear in Star Wars and other movies and shows, maybe he hears it. Maybe he hears some of the vroom, 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 I hate you. You know, you were the chosen one. Like, I can live with that.
And I think, you know, I understand too. And maybe, you know what, now that you've said that, that pops into my head. It's like, and that's still, if for whatever reason you don't want to watch it the way you're supposed to, that still kind of preserves the mystery a little bit.
Yeah.
If you've watched it in order, you know what he's thinking of. But if not, you're like, oh, maybe he's thinking about, I don't know, maybe I'll find out later.
Right.
Yeah.
I like it. We're two nerds having fun here. That's your number 2. My number 2 is, it's again, I gotta say, it's another novel moment, Return of the Jedi novel. James Caan, right, wrote that? Yeah. So it is this. I want Han Solo to commit to the rebellion, because he does, And Leia recognizes the moment, but I want to. So this is now completely, we're in imaginary land. We can't reshoot a scene or anything like that. Well, with technology these days, maybe we can. Han Solo, as we know now, again, going and the novels are in this weird canon, not canon. They're canon, but, you know, Obi-Wan's brothers, Owen Lars, they just...
From a certain point of view.
From a certain point of view, right? And you just, as a fan, you just have to accept it. It's why I am a canon junkie, but I do not lay my hat on it. Like, and those who are so obsessed with it, God bless you. I don't think you need to be to get enjoyment out of Star Wars. In Empire Strikes Back, Captain Solo is the captain of the Millennium Falcon. He's not in the Rebel Alliance. He specifically says in the novel, there's a sequence where I'm here helping out. I'm done. And that's why he leaves, because that's what Han does. He wants to be a smuggler. He wants to be a scoundrel. He is at times, and he's always at war with who he is. He's at war with himself up until his final moments. But in Return of the Jedi, when he takes the rank of general and he comes back and he's rescued, he joins the Rebel Alliance. And there is a great moment where Leia is looking at him in the briefing room. And it's played a little bit on the screen of like, you know, Han, is your command crew ready? And she's kind of like, what? But that's him really fully admitting, I am a rebel now. I have committed to this. And it's key to their relationship. It's key to her, I think, finally saying, I think I could love this guy. I mean, I know I love him. He knows I love him. But I think I'm here. I think I'm here for this guy because he committed to something other than Han Solo. And it's a powerful moment to the character. And if you could put that in this magnificent fake director's cut we're making up in our mind of having her maybe later, maybe it's after the briefing sequence, maybe it's in the shuttle, maybe a line, you know, and I don't want it to be too over the top and clunky and too Rick Olay from Phantom Menace. You join the Rebel Alliance. I now have love for you. No, I don't need that. You could find a way with some dialogue.
Planet is one big city.
Yeah. Carrie Fisher could have script doctored it if we redid this in the 90s. Like, she was so good at that. Give me that moment between them where he doesn't have to say it. He doesn't have to be like, yeah, are you so happy? He can almost be humble for once of just like, you know, what am I going to do? I want that moment. I think it's key to the relationship. I want to see it on screen.
Yeah. And I definitely think that's, look, I love me Han Solo.
Love me some.
Who doesn't love Han Solo? I kind of feel like, and I think maybe you alluded to this before, he checks out a little bit in Return of the Jedi.
Harrison and Han.
He's, you know, once we save him, he's just it's like, you're part of this.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that gives him something meaty to do, and I think especially now with Solo in our minds and in our canon,
right.
Just this idea of like Infest Nest being like, someday you'll change your mind. I feel like I want to see that paid off in this scene.
Yeah.
I want to see him truly change his mind and you're right. Commit.
Yeah. It's, I'm telling you, man, it runs all the way up to his final moments of his life of Leia saying, go and get our son. He failed to do it on Takadana. He could not commit to that idea. Then commits to it. It costs him his life. And it runs all the way back to his beginnings on screen. And yeah, you're right. I like it. It'd be a payoff moment. So that's why it's my number two, which means we're up to my number one. Honorable mentions. I don't have a ton. I put a lot of energy into my General Veers plot. Do you have any honorable mentions?
I mean, just the one that I think they even toyed with the idea of doing it, but just as our heroes fly away from Jabba's exploding barge, you just see one Boba Fett hand coming out. I think you save that for if you do a Boba Fett Disney Plus. But,
I love that. I could be on.
I know they've toyed. I think they thought maybe we should add that. They decided. Yeah, they decided not to. But why not?
Yeah.
We all know he's not gone.
Yeah, I can accept that. And I do not think he'll show up in The Mandalorian, at least season one. But yeah, I can live with that. I like that. That's a good honorable mention. Yeah, like I said, I got to be honest. I'm not going to force it when I don't have it. I put a lot of energy into these ones, which leads me to my number one. So my guests can close with their number one. All right. So this one. Yeah, of all the ones, I got pretty serious with some of these here. I mean, I dug into Moff Gerard's morality. But we're going to go, my number one, it's kind of silly. And it's a recent obsession with mine. All apologies to Jennifer Landa, who is the queen of Ewok love and appreciation, all right? She loves those Ewoks and always has. So I don't want to take her thunder, but my number one for this special edition that we want here is Chief Chirpa's daughter, Nissa, in the Battle of Endor. And I even want to go as far as him saying, "We have won the battle. Freedom for my people here in Bright Tree Village. I am laying down my cane, and my daughter is the chief now. I want Princess Nissa to rise to power. I have become obsessed with this idea." And, you know, the Caravan of Courage and the Battle of Endor, I grew up with them. Teak, with all due respect, our pal Nathan Hamill, who loves that guy. Wilford Brimley. I love to put them on Disney Plus, but keep them where they're at. And little parts of them have become canon again. Wisties and all the Gorax, all the stuff. Princess Nissa is more of the Ewoks cartoon, right? So she's Chief Chirpa's daughter. She's got a little pink thing on there because it's the 80s and what are you going to do? But she's canon. And she's canon. And Amy Ratcliffe writes about her in her Women of Star Wars book that came out a couple years ago. I have become obsessed with the rise of Chief Chirpa. Now, there's a little bloodline stuff there. And for a while, you've all heard me say here or on the other shows that I talk Star Wars, that in episode 9, my wish was to see Chief Wicket. Like, did Wicket take over? But quite frankly, that could only happen if he married into it, because it is it's an inherited thing. It's like Game of Thrones. Billy's laughing.
The patriarchy of the Ewoks. I didn't think this is where we're gonna go, but I'm loving it.
I want to see Princess Nissa in battle, doing something amazing, taking out stormtroopers. All right, give her something big to do, and then I want to see at the celebration. Yup, nub, we're all dancing, and both Yub Nub's going and William's celebration music's playing. We're going across, and then I want to see a little scene in a hut. Low grade's there to make sure it's official. Chirpa lays down his staff, and Nissa picks it up, and Bright Tree Village is hers. And maybe Wicket's there, like, I'm pretty good. Hey, you're kind of, hey, let's do the Ewok dance together when I become of age. Well, then I don't know what age is for Ewoks. All right, I don't know. I have to ask Jennifer that. I'll text her. Hey, Jennifer, when do Ewoks get married?
What's the legal drinking age for an Ewok? She'll be like, please don't text me.
Please lose my number. I'm not coming back to Force Center. But so this started as me kind of having some fun and just thinking, what's the most wildest thing I could have? But I'm obsessed with, much like giving Jar Jar a little redemption.
Sure.
I'm obsessed with adding some reality to these vicious little murder bears. And I'm fascinated by Chirpa's family. And there's legend stuff, but there's enough in canon that they have listed of his father. And him, and then if he hands over Bright Tree Village to Princess Nissa.
You can't even say it.
I'm serious about it, but I think it's silly. And that's part of what I love about Star Wars is it's wonderfully silly and serious. So that's my number one.
Well, I think,
you top that, sir.
I think at the end of Return of the Jedi, when, the montage is over and we cut back to Endor, yes. I think that's a great time. Like, it's a time of change for the whole galaxy. Yes. I think it fits beautifully into that moment.
Who are you to deny the return of the Queen Nissa?
I think it fits. I think, yeah. Again, like I said, it fits into this theme of the status quo is going to change for the universe. Yes. Now. I like it.
All right. Billy's on board. Princess Nissa rises to power. That's my number one, which means we're up to Billy's number one.
We are going to stay in the same scene.
Oh, yeah.
We are here at the end of Return of the Jedi.
It's in the background.
Right? She has just become queen of the Ewok village.
Hey, Lisa!
then we cut to Luke. And this is probably for me the most, I've said this probably 8 times now, but when I think of my favorite Star Wars moments, I think this has always been it. It's Luke walking away. He kind of has the little Frodo, like, I've been through something that none of you can quite understand.
Yep.
And he looks off and he sees his father and Yoda mm-hmm. and Obi-Wan. Mm-hmm. But I think there's one ghost that is missing. No. I want Qui-Gon Jinn.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And the way I want Qui-Gon added is that scene from Phantom Menace where they're looking out from the Jedi Temple in the balcony at this beautiful sunset, and he just comes and very fatherly puts his hand on Obi-Wan's shoulder.
Yeah.
I want him to come to old Obi-Wan, putting his hand on his shoulder. And I'll tell you why I want Qui-Gon there. Mm-hmm. I said this a little bit in the other episode about, like, well, how's Luke going to know who this is?
Right.
And before I said, well, he'll recognize his daddy.
Yeah.
He'll recognize his dad. I don't think he needs to recognize who Qui-Gon is. And I think that's part of it, because I think Luke being able to see these Force visions of the history, I think he's like, I'm now becoming part of something bigger. There's more to all of this. It's not just, you know, two guys and a little Yoda who's going to, like, you have to,
a little Yoda
who's going to, it's like, there's so much more of this world. You have to remember with Luke, when we're talking about Obi-Wan and all these other Jedi, Padawan since they were kids, Luke essentially got his Jedi GED, you know, he skimmed through.
Absolutely.
There's no way that he can start a Jedi Academy on his own. He doesn't know anything, or at least not enough.
Yeah.
But you add Qui-Gon there, who ultimately, in my head canon, probably not true, but in my head canon, once Qui-Gon is stabbed and he is laying on the ground for 25 minutes dying while they fight around him,
right,
I think he went through the Force and went and he saw everything that was going to happen. And I think he 100% knows that Anakin's going to become Darth Vader and all this is going to happen. And that's why he tells Obi-Wan, like, kind of like Doctor Strange in Infinity War, like, you have to do this. This is, you have to train this boy because this is what needs to happen.
Yeah.
So I feel like in my headcanon, Qui-Gon set all of this in motion 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think he needs to be there. I feel like he's a part of it.
I can get behind this because of the way they've tied into Qui-Gon and the modern canon of, like, all the stuff you said, the story and from a certain point of view and some of the lessons there. I think, whether or not we see it or not in an Obi-Wan series, the idea of him talking to him on Tatooine in the early days makes sense. And as far as Luke, this is where I love going off the page and off the screen and imagining, you know, we don't see them eat. We don't see Luke use the refresher. We don't see all that because it's a movie. I got to imagine if he is, we know from the deleted scene, he's on Tatooine building his lightsaber or whatever. If he's in those moments and he's meditating and he's communicating on any level with these cats there, I have to think Obi-Wan or Yoda at some point were like, oh, yeah, you know, there's this guy Qui-Gon. He was my master. He was my Padawan. Padawan of mine he was. Like, I gotta think there was some Jedi history there. We know that by the time Last Jedi, Luke's very up to date, but he's got the sacred text or he's got 30 years of studying this. I think there's time between, and we saw a lot in the Marvel comic stuff, we see him with Obi-Wan's journal and all this stuff. So this makes sense just from just it's not a far stretch. He pops up. Is it as emotional moment as seeing father, my mentor, and the dude that trained me? No, but unless you press pause and just think for a moment, I think it is one of those, like, your dad saying, oh, I played football and this was my coach.
Yeah.
Oh, you, hi. There's a lineage here.
But I also think, you know, when George talked about 1 through 6, and now that we're closing out the Skywalker saga, like, this is the Skywalker saga, and Qui-Gon is responsible for the Skywalkers being what the Skywalkers are. I feel like you have to have him there.
He's tremendously key to it. He's tremendously key to it.
Yeah.
You can't overlook that. It's not just a Phantom Menace wrinkle.
No, because I believe Qui-Gon was the first one that realized that, like, Qui-Gon realizes, like, the Sith are wrong, but that doesn't make the Jedi right by default. Right. You know, you talk about balance of the Force, and I feel like he's the, if it wasn't for Qui-Gon understanding that you have to break these rules, you have to train this boy because of this prophecy, and I'm reading Master and Apprentice right now, and all
this. Oh, yeah, you're in it.
Oh, I'm
this makes, this even
it.
Makes more sense why you've got this.
I'm so thick in it, and it's just so, as to quote Joseph Scrimshaw, it's so juicy. It's so ripe for story that I just feel like Qui-Gon deserves to be there in that Mount Rushmore of Jedi at the end of it.
I'm good with this. Jedi. I'm good with this. If you're good with my Princess Nisa getting her power, I'm good with Qui-Gon popping up there. Wow, what a list. We, you know, Billy, you have shown up for two episodes of Star Wars Ranked, and you brought your batting gloves and a bat ready to hit because you got some big ones today. Big hits, man. I love it. Great stuff, man. You have fun doing this?
Can you tell that I've just been like, I got to talk to someone about Star Wars.
It's been a joy to have you here, man. This is great. We'll do more. You're going to be around the Force Center world because a lot of fun talking Star Wars with you and seeing that joy just emanating off your face here live and in person. So good. You got a lot of thoughts and you have a lot of hot takes. Tell them where to find your show, you and things you're doing.
Yeah. On Twitter at Billy A. Patterson, Hot Takes with Billy Biz. If you thought, man, that's an opinion I'm not sure about, have a whole show where I get people like Mr. Ken Napsok to come on. You gotta help me convince Joseph. I really want to get Joseph on the show. Yeah.
Which one you want to do with him?
I wanna hear us talk about Last Jedi. Really like The Last Jedi. A lot of people don't, but I feel like if the masses could hear Joseph,
I think if you sell that, I think you can sell that.
So definitely check out the show. And also, I'm teaming up with the boys from the Nerd Goat podcast. Yeah. And I know Joseph has been on that show, and I think you're going to be on that show sooner than later. I don't know if this is news for you. We are going to be doing it's called Reboot It. And it's, we're doing a new show where it's, you don't want to reboot these things, but if you had to, how could we do it? So you got the Nerd Goat boys, me, we're going to do it live. LA Comic Con. We are going to be recording it, releasing it. But if you're at LA Comic Con, please stop by. We want to see you there
this weekend. That's where it's at. Great stuff. Thanks, Billy. Yeah, listen to his show, Hot Takes. Go back and listen to the Rogue One one, and see how far Billy has come. I would love to find the original one where you really were just like, I hate it. Get out of here. A lot of fun. You can follow me at Ken Napsok. Go to KenNapsok.com for information on all things like my book, comedy shows like the one coming up next month in Washington, D.C. with me and Mark Ellis, Josh McCuga going to the Comedy Loft. Check out that there. Force Center, you know where to find us. You can find us at Twitter, Force Center Pod. Like our Facebook page. We're on Instagram. Just going to do some stories to promote the shows. More pictures. We're coming soon with that. You can follow us there. Go to our website. Also, a YouTube page where we rebroadcast a lot of things there, and we also have our Patreon page, patreon.com/ForceCenter, if you want to support. Thank you all for sticking with us through the recent transition to Anchor here. We love being on Anchor, but we had to get through it. At the time we're recording, this episode will release a few weeks later, so hopefully even some of the little bumps in the road have been fixed. But we want to thank all of you in the Force Center world for sticking with us through that. We love it. We love your support. We love celebrating Star Wars with you so that people like Billy can come share their unbridled passion for this silly space saga, which is also the greatest story ever told. We'll see you next week. All hail Princess Nisa. Star Wars has been ranked.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.